Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Reach.
No more fascist bullies disturbing our peace.
Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring interviews, music, news, and events on the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a world of health, peace, prosperity, harmony, and nonviolence. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor its management.
Examine it closely.
Thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation. In this episode, we're featuring the activism of George Martin in the UK. His social media channel is called Carnism Debunked, humanely slaughtering the arguments for animal exploitation. We'll be hearing audio snippets of his awesome, powerful, important work. And then we'll hear some awesome vegan music to end violence and exploitation. The music we're hearing is Will Tuttle from his album Animal Songs. This is The Chicken Song. And now we'll hear George Martin, Carnism Debunked, discussing vegetarianism is the opposite of veganism.
Vegetarianism is the opposite of veganism. They're not similar, they're not anywhere near the same thing. If this statement sounds crazy to you, it's because you've been swindled into seeing vegetarianism as some kind of benevolent thing, some kind of middle ground between flesh eating and veganism, when actually, vegetarianism and flesh eating are as distant from veganism as each other. I like to think of vegetarianism as a sleazy salesman. It presents itself to the buyer as an act of altruism and kindness, when the reality is that the buyer, high on feelings of positivity as they make the transaction, will be paying for exactly the same evil and cruel acts they were paying for before. In fact, the smokescreen of vegetarianism as ethical or even semi-ethical is so strong that I bet many of you who are vegan, who are watching this video, disagree with me vehemently already when I say that vegetarianism is actually the opposite of veganism. I'm going to now prove to you just how effective this sleazy sales trick has been with a simple experiment. If I say shredding male chicks alive in a macerator is the opposite of veganism, I'm pretty sure 100% of people watching this video would say, well, obviously. If I say bludgeoning calves to death with pickaxes is the opposite of veganism, once again, I'd bet my house that every single person watching this video would be in complete agreement. If I say hacking lambs' tails off and sending them on ships for live export in the wool industry is the opposite of veganism, once again, any rational person watching would just agree with me. Yet whenever I say vegetarianism is the opposite of veganism, as is the title of this video, this is met with disagreement and controversy, even though vegetarianism funds all those things. So how on earth is it possible that any of those things alone can be the opposite of veganism? Yet somehow when we combine them and just give it a word like vegetarianism, it now magically becomes similar to veganism. It makes no sense. So just to be clear, in the egg industry, male chicks are shredded alive because they can't lay eggs. Vegetarians pay for this. In the dairy industry, cows are sexually violated, branded with hot irons, have their calves stolen from them, and the male ones are murdered while the female ones grow up as slaves for their lactations and are eventually slaughtered. Vegetarians pay for this. In the wool industry, lambs unfit for wool production are bludgeoned to death by being slammed against the wall or floor, while ones fit for wool production have their tails hacked off, have tags put in their ears, are shorn, often very roughly, being beaten and cut during the process, and are eventually murdered, often after being exported to other countries on hellishly long journeys via boat. Vegetarians pay for this. Now, what about quantity then? You'll find that many apologists for vegetarianism argue that a vegetarian massively reduces their impact in comparison to a meat eater and kills way fewer animals. And you know what? Maybe in some cases that's true. But guess what? You can't just make blanket statements like that. In fact, it absolutely is possible for a vegetarian to cause as much or more harm than a flesh eater. For example, a vegetarian who eats loads of eggs and eats animal foods every single day causes way more harm than, say, a flesh eater who maybe has an egg or dairy allergy, who eats bacon once or twice a week and has the odd cheeseless pizza every now and then. The amount of male chicks macerated, and indeed female chicks, bred into existence to lay eggs for them and suffer various abuses throughout their lives until being murdered is astronomical. Then you have to factor in that veganism goes way beyond food. You might get a flesh eater who only buys second-hand clothing, for example, while a vegetarian is an absolute fast fashion queen and is buying the skin, wool and fur of murdered animals on a weekly basis. Then you have people who might live in rural parts of their country and mostly hunt and forage for their own food. For example, they might murder a wild hog or rabbit every week or so, and the flesh is used to sustain a family for however long. The average vegetarian living in a developed country is likely going to be causing way more animal murder than they are. In fact, I've found that vegetarians are often the biggest addicts to these products there are. They absolutely fill their shopping trolleys to the brim with cheese, eggs, and so on. It just strikes me as incredibly naive to make these statements like saying that vegetarians cause less harm than flesh eaters do. Which ones? So what about when people say that vegetarianism is a stepping stone and thus some kind of middle ground between carnism and veganism, and that it helps many people transition? The problem with this argument is that it arbitrarily assigns flesh as having some kind of magical halfway transitional property and ignores the others. And this is the problem with the concept of vegetarianism. It treats meat as special in comparison to the other animal products. For example, we don't have a word for someone who eats flesh, honey, and dairy every single day, but does not eat eggs. The truth is that someone who matches this description is actually as much of a so-called vegetarian as someone who does not eat flesh, but does eat eggs. They are the same distance from veganism as each other. Why then do we have this word and concept of vegetarianism when flesh is just one tiny product in a whole world of torture? When we go into a supermarket, we are surrounded by the products of abuse, rape, slavery, and murder, yet the people who boycott just one of these products gets a special word for them. Why? And this is why vegetarianism is such a dangerous concept. It upholds steak and chicken wings as the epitome of all evil, while glossing over the very products that fund the same industries those two products are a part of. I've argued with so many vegans who take particular offence to what I'm saying and tell me things like, "I was a vegetarian for 31 years before I became vegan. I just didn't know." The funny thing about stories like that are, they just go to prove my point about how dangerous vegetarianism is and why you should hate its very existence. If you were a vegetarian for many years before you were vegan, that means you were funding the most evil and brutal acts of violence on the planet while thinking you were doing the right thing. I mean, you should be even more angry about vegetarianism than me. You should be attacking vegetarianism more than I am. You were conned. Remember that sleazy salesman analogy I made earlier? You got absolutely scammed and wasted decades of your life in some cases funding animal abuse when you could have been doing the right thing. Don't get angry at me for pointing this out. Get angry at vegetarianism. Another problem with vegetarianism is that its very existence paints veganism as extreme or a step too far. When vegans in any way condone vegetarianism, all they're doing is solidifying this carnist idea that eating flesh is the norm, vegetarianism is, you know, a little weird but okay, and then veganism is just this radical, crazy, out there thing that's just taking it too far. In fact, when you first went vegan, I'll bet my bottom dollar you had people say to you, "Why not just go vegetarian instead?" What we need to be doing as vegans is hammering home the position that vegetarianism isn't some kind of alternative to carnism. It is carnism. You're either a vegan or a carnist. That's it. There's no in between. There's no middle ground. You either support animal slavery or you don't. Veganism is a stance against the exploitation and murder of animals. Vegetarianism, however, revolves around the exploitation and murder of animals. Vegetarianism is the opposite of veganism. Thanks very much for watching, everyone.
That's George Martin. And now we'll hear another audio clip. This is George Martin, How Non-Vegans Destroy Their Own Argument.
Vegans rightly and routinely refer to animal agriculture as slavery and oppression, as well as calling artificial insemination, that is, the forced impregnation of a female animal, rape. Non-vegans will often respond to this by saying that it cannot be classed as slavery, oppression, or rape. After all, animals, they say, don't even understand the concepts of oppression or rape and consent. So they don't even know what oppression or rape is. By saying this, though, non-vegans actually defeat their own argument as to how animal exploitation is morally justifiable. The reality is the less comprehension the victim has of what has been done to them, the more severely we tend to view the crime. For example, if someone has sex with a child, we say that child cannot understand the concept of consent, and therefore it's rape. Indeed, child rape is generally seen by society as far more severe than adult rape. The reason sex with children is so rightly vilified by society is because children don't understand the concept of rights and consent. Not because they do. Imagine if a paedophile was to say, "What I did wasn't rape." Children don't even understand the concept of rights and consent. Similarly, if a mentally handicapped person signs up to a work contract they don't understand, we'd call that slavery, because they don't understand the concept of what is being done to them and how they're being exploited for profit. As such, if what non-vegans are saying is true, and animals don't understand the concepts of rights, oppression, or consent, then artificial insemination is the ultimate form of rape, and animal agriculture is the ultimate form of oppression and exploitation, as well as slavery. In order then for a non-vegan who holds such beliefs to live consistently with their position on this subject, they would have to say that sex with a minor is not rape, and that forcing a mentally handicapped person to sign up to a contract they don't understand is not slavery or oppression. After all, neither of the victims understand either of those things. Taking into account what I've just said, any rational person should now see that impregnating an animal is rape, and that exploiting animals is oppression and slavery, regardless of whether the victims understand what is being done to them or not. What's more, this position also contradicts other nonsensical arguments that get held at vegans all the time, such as the idea that we should arrest lions and put them on trial for killing gazelles. If it's your position that animals don't understand the concept of rights while you do, then you acknowledge that it's your responsibility to behave differently than they do, so you should not be acting out violence towards other animals. Don't forget to like and share this video and subscribe to Carnism Debunked.
That's George Martin, activist in the UK. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue more with George Martin and then some awesome vegan music.
Hey y'all, Motown Tom here, and I want you to stop whatever you're doing and tune in to the Jukebox of Motown every Wednesday morning from 9 until noon. It ain't nothing but a Motown dance party, so join the dance line, and we're gonna be dancing in the streets every Wednesday.
Tune in every Saturday night, Sunday morning from 12 midnight until 3 a.m. It's the Love Session on 91.3 WCW Worcester with DJ Chuck Chillin'. Tell a phone, tell a friend, tell your fam. You might even want to tell your mom and them.
Hi, this is Bruce. You're listening to WCUW Worcester 91.3 FM, community radio serving central Massachusetts, online at wcuw.org.
Welcome back from the break. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow in Worcester, Massachusetts, and I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. We're featuring George Martin, activist in the UK. Carnism Debunked. Humanely slaughtering the arguments for animal exploitation.
Thank you. one of the most frequent and unjust criticisms of veganism and vegans is that veganism is like a religion, and vegans are like religious fanatics. Today I'm going to tear this myth to shreds and show you why carnism, not veganism, is the religion, and why its most vocal and outspoken adherents are the religious fanatics. So,
this clip is an edited shortened version. For the full episode, please visit Carnism Debunked by George Martin.
Number 7, use of violence towards those who oppose its ideas.
In the same way that major religions such as Christianity and Islam have chose to enact violence to those who oppose its ideas, carnism has done the same. Now, we've all heard of the Crusades, but many people are unaware of carnism's crusade against the planet and its inhabitants, and all those who stand in the way of its goals. In 2005, Dorothy Stang, a 73-year-old anti-deforestation campaigner, was shot dead with a machine gun by armed thugs hired by the beef and dairy industry after she objected to their hacking down of the Amazon to clear space for grazing land. In 1995, Carol Van Noppen, a government livestock inspector, was murdered outside his home in a paid hit after he exposed antibiotic use in the animal agriculture industry in Belgium. All this reminds me of the proposed ag-gag laws, which aim to prosecute activists who film goings on at farms and slaughterhouses. These are nothing more than glorified blasphemy laws. Besmirch the good reputation of carnism by revealing the truth about it, pay the price with your liberty. I could go on about people killed. These were just two of the people murdered in cold blood for daring to oppose or speak out against the world's most violent religion. But let's move on.
Number 8, might makes right philosophy.
So what is might makes right philosophy? Might makes right is essentially the idea that the more powerful the perpetrator is in comparison to the victim, the more morally acceptable that makes the act. In many major religions, for example, the fact that an all-powerful God is A, watching over incredibly evil acts such as murder and rape and failing to stop them, and B, committing an act of the most heinous evil himself by throwing people into hell for the mere crime of not worshipping him, he is lauded as all good, loving and wonderful, simply because he's powerful and simply because he can do those things. Similarly, in carnism, might makes right. I'm top of the food chain, so I can eat what I want. Humans have evolved to be more dominant than animals, so that makes it okay. So while a core principle of veganism is that exerting power over a defenseless victim is wrong, carnism dictates that it's right, because hey, we have the power to do so, so that makes it okay. God is good even though he tosses people into flames for not worshipping him, and slitting a defenseless chicken's throat is fine because we're top of the food chain. Lastly, and a fairly obvious one to end with.
Number 9, carnists actually use religious arguments.
There is not a vegan on earth who has not heard these arguments. God put animals here for us to eat. Animals are here to serve us. God said so. Vegans hear deity-based arguments to justify carnism on a daily basis. While indeed there are many vegans who are religious themselves, Christians, Muslims, Jews, Buddhists, Hindus, and so on, their motivations are not so much driven by religion, but more just the basic principle that it's not okay to violate someone else's body without their consent. They didn't even need a god to tell them that. Meanwhile, carnists continue to use God as a justification for animal oppression. I'll leave you with this quote, which for me sums up why there is actually nothing less like religion in the world than veganism. Religion is getting people to believe in things they can't see. Veganism is getting people to see things they don't want to believe. Remember, while religion asks its followers to make leaps of faith, vegans are not asking anyone to believe in anything that is not directly observable. You have an information highway at your fingertips to prove that we are speaking the truth. Please share this video far and wide and hit the subscribe button.
We're listening to an audio clip of George Martin, a vegan animal rights activist in the UK. We'll hear one more short clip of George Martin, and then we'll go out with some great vegan music. The next audio clip is from George Martin's video from his Carnism Debunked series. And the video title is Trump Banned from Social Media, Why Vegans Should Be Concerned. And I would like to preface this audio clip with my comment that I do not support any carnist political parties. And as I see this presentation by George Martin, this is about censorship, not politics. Here's George Martin, Carnism Debunked. This audio clip you're hearing here has been slightly edited.
Recently, social media has been awash with the news that Donald Trump has been banned from Facebook and Twitter, with many people celebrating the news. But vegans, of all people, should not be celebrating big tech censorship. After all, just because they censored the opinions of the mean orange man you don't like, do you think that means they won't stop at you if they have the incentive? The fact that big tech just cancelled the sitting president of the United States should worry any rational person who values liberty and freedom. Let's put this into perspective. Facebook and Instagram is run by a billionaire hunter who says,
"Things taste better when you make them yourself. And they taste doubly better when you hunted the animal yourself."
And vegans are celebrating the power this guy wields over who can and can't say what on his platform? I mean, what vegan who spreads the truth in a radical and unapologetic way has not had a ban on any of these platforms for violating these companies' community standards? Or should I say, community double standards? Hell, I've been banned for sticking it to a guy who said vegans at a SAVE protest should have been run over. I've been banned for posting a meme that calls out the hypocrisy of people who say that we should respect the decision of those who choose to harm animals. All I can say is, if you're a vegan who loves to speak the truth on social media and you haven't yet had an account ban, you have been incredibly lucky. But back to the Trump situation. For anyone who uses the analogy of how Facebook, Twitter and so on are private companies, and thus conservatives are being hypocrites for being against this because they claim to support the right of private companies to control what should and shouldn't be allowed in their business, I would agree here. If, that is, big tech didn't essentially have a monopoly on the spread of information. You see, if there were all these mainstream social media apps popping up all over the place where one can freely roam and post uncensored opinions to a global audience, I would absolutely respect the point of view that it's fine for private companies like Twitter and Facebook to ban certain people. But this is not the case. In fact, Apple and Google, both of whom themselves have a monopoly on app stores for mobile operating systems, have now removed social media app Parler from the App Store and the Google Play Store, respectively, due to the fact that Parler is a social media app, mainly frequented by right-wingers, that does not censor the opinions of its users. If that doesn't worry you, regardless of your views on anything, then I don't know what will. In fact, I'd have to say, if it doesn't worry you that Google, Apple, Facebook, and Twitter essentially control the spread of information, with even the Google search engine removing certain things from its search results that go against its company's own political views, all I can assume is that you're a robot who shares the exact same opinions as all of these big tech CEOs, in which case you wouldn't be vegan, because none of them are. Moreover, this isn't just about being against big tech censorship because it serves us in some way as vegans to not have it. This goes way beyond veganism. This is about being a decent human being, a person who values freedom of speech and freedom of information. And if you're one of the people who only wants your views, your opinions, and your politics being allowed on social media, you're not a decent human being. You're an authoritarian brat who thinks every single person should be thought policed into thinking the way you think on every issue. So vegans, and indeed anyone, please stop applauding big tech censorship. We're in dangerous times where the spread of information is being controlled by just a handful of powerful people. We must be vocal in our opposition to censorship of opinions, whether you like the person being censored or not. Animal rights advocacy is about telling people what they do not want to hear. And as George Orwell, writer of the dystopian novel 1984, which seems eerily all too familiar at the moment, said, "If liberty means anything at all, it means the right to tell people what they do not want to hear." Thanks for watching.
That's George Martin. His page for vegan advocacy is Carnism Debunked. Much thanks to George for allowing Vegan Nation to air audio clips of his powerful, important work to end violence, misogyny, oppression, exploitation, and discrimination. You tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in. Let's go out with Everything Comes Around by vegan singer-songwriter Ellie Sarti, who's the founder and director of Compassion Arts. Hear this program again at vegansradio.wordpress.com. And please join us again next week. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of the station nor its management. This is Malina, Massachusetts, wishing you a good day.
Behind a steel door, behind the concrete and barbed wire, sentenced to darkness, sentenced to living death, the warehoused merchandise. Living commodities, tethered to grating and the